We're going to read two verses before we look into the passage this morning, but if you'd stand for the reading of God's word, and I want to remind you again that these are Christ's words, and we want to hear what he has to say to our hearts. How many believes he's able to speak this morning applicable to every one of our hearts? Whoever we are, wherever we're at, whatever our age, he knows how to speak. So just expect God to speak to your heart this morning. Amen. Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. I struggled with what to title this. Go ahead, and if you would, put the title up there. And I couldn't come up exactly with what I wanted to title, so I'm just going to say this morning, hey, branches. And I want to talk to you and myself included as a bunch of branches. Now, I didn't say that Jesus said we're branches. So how about I talk to it? In fact, no. How about let's let Jesus talk to us as branches and see what the vine has to say to the branches, okay? We're going to do that. So, hey, branches. Praise God. Father, thank you for the word that we have, that you preserve, that we might know, we might hear, we might understand and receive, and our lives be changed. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd move mightily by your Spirit this morning. Move in our hearts and lives. Talk to us as a people, individually, corporately, and may, oh Lord, our lives be different from having fed on your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Recently, I read a story of a lady sitting on a porch. She had went to see someone, and they weren't there, and the house was locked. And as she was sitting on the porch, a man had been working in the house across the street, came running up to her, had very little English to speak, and he's holding his hand, and it was bloody, and blood was dripping everywhere. And she finally made out he wanted her to call 911. Well, the ambulances and things came, and they're dealing with the man. And again, it was a language problem, but they understood that the appendage he'd cut off his finger, was still in the house across the street. And this is where the roads were really winding. But anyway, they took care of the man temporarily and put him in the back of the ambulance and began to go down the street, which kind of had to curve around so she could kind of watch it make the loops. And as it pulled away, she started hollering at him. She realized they forgot the finger. So she quickly runs to the house. She doesn't even know this guy. He doesn't know the house. So runs into the house. She finds the finger, and she grabs the finger, and she begins to run after the ambulance, and it was able to stop it. She realized something very, very important, that, as you know, unattached body parts die quickly. They have to be attached. They have to be connected. How many knows that every Christian is attached to Christ's body? Unattached people do not survive, because the life comes from Christ. We don't produce the life in us, the spiritual. It comes from Jesus Christ. Aren't you thankful this morning that Jesus used a less gruesome analogy than I just gave you? Instead of a body, he used a vine, and instead of body appendages, he used branches. But he's making the same point, the same truth. Two things that Jesus is saying that we're going to see this morning. Number one, there is no spiritual life for our souls without attachment to him, Jesus Christ. The second thing Jesus is stressing is the whole purpose of that spiritual life isn't just so that the branch can have life, but so that the branch can bear fruit, produce fruit. This is what Jesus is stressing. If you've been here for chapter 13 and 14, Jesus has not been speaking to the public. He's been speaking in private to his disciples. And I won't enumerate the things, but all through chapter 13 and 14, Jesus has talked about what he's going to do for the disciples. I'm going to prepare you a place. I'm going to make a way to the Father. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to answer you. So for two chapters, Jesus has spoken of what he's going to do for the disciples. But when he begins chapter 15, he's changed it and he begins to speak about what the disciples should do for him. You know what disciples should do for Jesus? They should bear fruit. They should bear fruit. Jesus and his disciples between chapter 14 and 15, they had risen from the table after that Last Supper. They had sung a hymn, the other Gospels tell us. And so we have this teaching about the vine. Either they're standing there getting ready to leave that upper room, or they've left the upper room and they're walking down the street. And Jesus begins to share this analogy, this message, this lesson, amen, about the vine in the branches. He says to them, disciples, you are branches attached to me, the vine, and you're taken care of by the Father, and you are to bear fruit. And so this morning, Jesus' message, my message, is believers are to bear fruit. We are to be productive. And here's the thing. This is a message primarily to believers, to folks who already know Jesus, and the message is you should bear fruit. But do you know, I find even in this message a message to those who are not yet believers, who do not yet know Christ, whose souls are withered and dry, to folks whose lives seem to produce nothing. I've got a message from Christ's message. You too can be attached to the vine. You too can know what it is to have life-giving sap course through your soul. You too can know what it is to be strengthened in the inner person. You too can know a reason for living. That's the life of Christ that produces his fruit. Hallelujah. So let's look at his message this morning. First of all, he talks about the conduit. Jesus is from whom what we need comes. Oh, what a simple message. What my soul needs, what your soul needs. Amen. We need what we need. It comes from Jesus himself. Look what it says in verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine. I want to tie this into everything of the book of John that we've been learning. But Jesus, oh, he's a carpenter. Jesus, oh, he's flesh and blood like we are. He said in the midst of his enemies, before Abraham was, I am. And with those words, he was declaring, I'm God. I'm the God of the burning bush. I'm the God that divided the Red Sea. I'm the God that sent the manna. I'm Jehovah, because the very name Jehovah means I am. They call that the trigrammar. I'm using just English words instead of their Latin. They call that the trigrammar because it has all three tenses in it. I'm the God that was, and I'm the God that is, and I'm the God that shall be. Amen. He said, I am. But then he began to state things and descriptions of that I am. There are seven I ams in John. And today we're looking at the last I am. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. By the way, when I read these, if you're thankful for that after I read it, would you just shout amen? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheepfold. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And now number seven, he says, I am the true vine. Every word of God is important. Jesus didn't just say, I am the vine. He said, I'm the true vine. Why? Because if you would read the Old Testament through the prophets, Israel, the nation Israel, was God's vine. Even Israel was the one to whom if you attached yourself, you would have spiritual life. You'd have understanding. You'd have hope. You'd have salvation. Well, that's the way it was supposed to be. But the problem was, Israel, the nation, as a vine, failed and failed miserably. Israel became sinful and corrupt and self-righteous. Israel was not only a disappointment to the people that belonged to her, Israel was a disappointment to God. One of the saddest scriptures is in the prophet when God is speaking and he said, I went to my vine, I went to Israel, and I looked for fruit and I found no fruit. And so I sent prophets, I gave them my word, I gave them my blessing, and I came back and I looked for fruit and I found no fruit from my nation Israel. And then God utters these words, what more could I have done than I have done for my vine? I said Israel as a vine was a failure, but Jesus, he steps on the scene and he says, the nation Israel might have failed you, but I'm the true vine, I'm the real vine, I will not fail you. You attach yourself to me, you will have life, you will have vitality, you will have salvation, you will have purpose, because I'm the real vine. You see, the word true isn't just an opposition to false, but true means the real thing. The real thing. How many knows Jesus is the real thing? He's the one that brings reality, really what the heart needs. He really brings eternal life. He really brings purpose and joy and peace. And so could I say this morning that when Jesus says, I'm the vine, he is saying, as the life-giving, the nutrient-giving, the moisture-giving sap travels through a literal vine to the branch, so I, Christ, I am the means which the life-giving sap that your soul needs, the nutrients your soul needs, the moisture your soul needs are going to come from me. They're going to, could I tell you this morning, Jesus had to say, I'm the true vine, because there's lots of vines. Listen to me. There's lots of vines. There's a lot of things you can attach your life to. I can attach my life to. In fact, you know, we kind of joke that people IV their kids into the TV, you know. That's a vine, right? All kinds of things of this world, all kinds of vines you can connect your life to. But if you do, your soul's going to wither. Your soul's going to dry. But can I tell you, there's something you can attach your life to, and you're not going to dry. You're not going to wither. You're going to live. You're going to have eternal life. You're going to have I'm talking about the true vine. There's no disappointment in the true vine. How many say, I want to attach my life fully, completely, and totally to the vine, Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Could I just see some honest hands this morning and say, I do need spiritual life. I do need spiritual refreshing. I do need what Jesus has to give. Amen. I want to say to you this morning, if you're not attached to the vine, you have no spiritual life. The vine is alive, and everything connected to the vine will have life. Amen. We only receive the life source our souls need with that attachment. But Jesus is emphatic. We're not attached to the vine just to receive sustenance and substance and to get what we need for our souls and to live. We are attached to the vine to also bear fruit. To bear fruit. Amen. You know, when I preach this morning, the words of Christ, this cuts across the grain of the modern mentality of modern Christianity that says, I'm a consumer. I come to church as a consumer. I come to get what I want, to find what I want. I want church to be about me. I want the songs to be about me. I want the people to be about me. I want to prosper. I want to hear things that I'm blessed, blessed, blessed. It cuts across that mentality. Thank God. Thank God Jesus causes us to be blessed, and he causes us to prosper. But Jesus is adamant that my spiritual life isn't just about me and what I can get out of it, but my spiritual life is about bearing fruit. I get what I need from him. Yes, it vitalizes my soul. But what I get from him goes beyond that and produces fruit. Secondly, this morning, notice the care. The Father personally takes care of us. Jesus not only says, I'm the true vine, Jesus says, my Father is the husbandman. Now, that's an old English word. You could translate it farmer, but in context, it's the vine dresser, the vine keeper. The vine dresser takes great care of the vine and its branches and its fruits. The vine dressers, he watches, he examines them, he cares for, he protects. Could I tell you, first of all, this morning, this is a message in itself, but I'll mention it briefly. The Father, as vine dresser, took care of the vine. People would have stoned Mary for being expectant out of marriage, but the Father took care of the vine. When Jesus was born, Herod would have, he did, he killed the babies, but he would have killed Jesus too. But the Father, the vine dresser, took care of the vine. The crowds would have killed Jesus, the life giver. But the Father, the vine keeper, he took care of the vine. What are you trying to say? Well, the vine keeper, the Father, not only takes care of the vine, he takes care of the branches that are attached to the vine. How many believes if he took care of Jesus, he's going to take care of us? Oh, we can shout right there. The Father is the vine keeper. That's the wonderful thing about being attached to the vine. The Father is the, amen, I know he uses preachers and different ones, but the Father has not delegated our care to someone else. He takes care of us. Every day the vine keeper would examine the vine. He'd take a walk through the vineyard. He'd look for disease. He'd look for pest. He'd look for signs of lack of water and nutrition. He looked for growth. And he looked for fruit. Amen. I want us to believe this morning. If the Father is a vine keeper, and that's what a vine keeper does, how many can believe that even this morning the Father is examining the branches? Life, is there disease there? Is there a lack of nutrition? But the main thing the Father is examining the branches for, he's examining for fruit. Amen. Moving into the plat, this is the first time in 27 years I have not had a garden. Okay? But if you're like me as a gardener, you do something. From the time those seeds go into the ground, every day that you can, you go out and you're looking. You're looking for the first signs for them to break through the soil. You're looking for the first shoot, the first leaves. And but really, really what you're looking for that day you can go out there and see that it has fruit. Could I tell you, as the vine keeper, the Father is examining the branches, looking for the fruit. He looks for dryness. He looks for disease. He looks for pest. He looks for fruit. Amen. What are you trying to say? Our spiritual life goes all the way back to the Father. Without the Father, there would have been no vine. Without the vine, there would be no branch. And without the branch, there would be no fruit. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad he planted the vine? Hallelujah. 2,000 years ago, the Father planted a vine, and he planted it in this earth. And now we are attached and can bear fruit. Verse 2. Every branch of me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You know, in a way, these are very sobering scriptures. But notice, first of all, the Father deals with the branch that doesn't bear fruit. It says that if the branch does not bear fruit, he taketh away. So the Father rids the vine of branches that do not produce fruit. This is a warning that Jesus is going to return to. But it's very clear. Jesus says the Father rids the vine of branches that do not produce fruit. If Brother Michael, if we go back to verse 2 for just a moment, notice here it says that branch that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. way. Now, I'm going to have to deal with some things this morning because we have some friends that believe in eternal security. In other words, once you're saved, you can't even do anything to jeopardize your salvation and lose your salvation. And when they get to this passage in John, they jump through hoops, they twist words and everything. And so when you get to the word take away, because they know the root, they say, well, this doesn't mean he takes it from the vine. It just means he comes and in care and concern, if it's not bearing fruit, he kind of lifts it up and helps it and ties it up and everything. And that's not even the meaning of the verb. It's rooted in to lift up. But the word literally means to lift up, to pick up, to carry away. It's clear. This is a branch, a man that is taken away, but it does not bear fruit. Each of us ought to have this question forming in our minds right now, and it ought to be pulling at our hearts. If the Father is looking for fruit and the branch that does not bear fruit is taken away, the question ought to be for each of us this morning is, am I as a branch, am I bearing fruit? That ought to be the question for us this morning. And so that causes us to pause for a moment and ask the question, what is the fruit that we are to bear? And you know that's in a message, you know that's a message in itself. So I'm going to answer that very quickly. What does Jesus mean about fruit? What is the fruit we should bear? First of all, fruit is what only God can produce. It's what only God can produce in our life. It's not talent. It's not ability. Amen. I'll tell you things that only God can produce in our life, and that's real love. That's love for enemies. That's joy whenever things going wrong. That's peace in a calamitous world. Only God can produce those things. Only God can give us grace when we ought to hate and we ought to be bitter. That's fruit. What else is fruit? It's not just what God can produce. Fruit is what only comes from God's character. Let me ask you something. Apart from God, is there any holiness in our world? I'm telling you, I'll tell you what fruit is. It's what comes from God's character. It's purity and holiness and righteousness and godliness. Amen. What else is fruit? It's not just what God can produce. It's not just what God comes from or comes from God's character. Amen. Fruit is what comes from His Spirit. I do not want to be derogatory in my analogy, but if Jesus is the vine, I really feel like the sap, the sustenance that comes through the vine is the Holy Spirit. How many could accept that this morning? Well, what is the fruit of the Spirit? It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit. One more thing. What is the fruit we are to bear? Amen. The fruit is what we're called to do. How many knows we're called to produce our kind and to bring others to Jesus Christ? All of these things are fruit. What only God can do. Amen. What comes from the character of God. What comes from the Spirit of God. And what we are called to do. Oh, I want to bear fruit. I said, I want to bear fruit. This is what the Father is looking for. Amen. You know, sometimes, listen with me for a moment, but sometimes people have been Christians for years. I mean, for years they have been Christians. And then there's a crisis. There's conflict, and they don't act at all like a Christian. And I can include myself at times in that scenario. How many knows what I'm talking about? Served God for years, gone to church for years, and not acting like a Christian. And I have found myself asking this question, when is it that this Christian thing is going to kick in? Do they have a right to act that way? Maybe so. Do they have a reason? Maybe so. Would I have acted that way? Maybe so. But when is this being a Christian thing going to kick in? When is it going to take effect? When are we going to get it? You know what I'm asking? I'm asking, when are we going to have some fruit here? Hallelujah, we got this life coming from the vine. We got this life coursing in our soul. But the Father's looking for fruit. Amen.
That's his care. That's his concern. Amen. Why would a branch not bear fruit? A branch would not bear fruit because all that sap goes to leaf. How many gardeners know what I'm talking about sometimes? All of it goes to leaf, none to fruit. Oh, we don't have time for that. Jesus had the lesson of the fig tree. Listen, I'll simply say this. When it comes down to this being a Christian, going to church, when it comes down to being all about me, then it's all about leaf on this branch. That's what it means to go to leaf. When it's all about me, I'm all leaf and no fruit. Amen. Why would a branch not bear fruit? Because it gets diseased. Amen. I remember several years growing even squash, and a disease would even get into bloom, and those little squash would begin, but they wouldn't get very big till they'd get the brown on them. The disease had hit. Why do I not bear fruit? Be disease, sin, and ungodliness in my life, and worldliness, and bitterness, and a grudge. Hallelujah. Why does a branch not bear fruit? Because it gets old. Hold on, I didn't say, I'm not talking about numerical age, but I'm telling you, why do we stop bearing fruit? Because we begin to let everything get old about serving God. Our experience is getting old. Our salvation's getting old. The songs are getting old. The preaching's getting old. Everything's getting old. That's why there is no fruit. But the Father, the vine keeper, he's looking at it. Amen. The fruit is not produced. Oh, hallelujah. You can wipe your brow right here. This is such relief. The branch, it does not produce the fruit. It only bears it. Hallelujah. I said it does not produce the fruit. It only bears it. Christians today want everything to flow into them so they can prosper and so they can flourish. And Jesus wants us to flourish. But the sap is pumped into the branch, not just to lengthen the branch, not just to produce leaves, not just to thicken the branch, but the sap is pumped into the branch that it might bear fruit. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Maybe this is a good time to stop and say, he's still working on me. Amen. Don't get upset if the Father is examining the branch. He only examines the branch to help the branch. Glory to God. You know, there's a lot of controversy over this verse. Why don't you look at it one more time? And the controversy is, and the twisting is, to try to make this verse say something other than somebody saved loses their salvation. And so here's what they say. The branch that is taken away was someone that looked like a believer, acted like a believer, professed to be a believer, but they were never attached to the vine. That is not what this verse says. And you know, listen, church, I really want to be helpful this morning because this doctrine is sweeping even Pentecostal churches, and it has dire consequences. The belief that once you're saved, even you cannot jeopardize your salvation, so you can do anything, live anyway. And so they say here, the branch taken away was a branch that was never, ever really connected. But look at the scripture. You tell me, look at the scripture. He said, every branch in me. It's not professing to be a Christian. It's actually in him. All through John, in him, talks about unity with Christ. It is united with the vine. This is a branch that was genuinely connected. It is a Christian that is truly saved. The branch was alive. The question, look here, the question never was the branch dead at this point? The branch is alive. The branch even has leaves, but it does not bear fruit. How many can see that Jesus is serious about our relationship, amen, with him, not being selfishly just about ourselves, but our relationship with him ought to be one that produces fruit. Amen. And so the question is this morning, did you and I come to church this service, praying, God, help me to be an encouragement to someone. Lord, help me, use me today to be a blessing to someone. God, may the fruit of your Spirit be so evident in my life that an unbeliever can look at me and say, I want that kind of relationship with God. Amen. And so we spend a lot of time with that. This next thing, I'll just spend a little bit of time. But not only does the Father take away the branch that doesn't bear fruit, the Father cleanses the branches that are bearing fruit. If we could go back to the verse, thank you for putting that there. Go back to the verse. So the branch that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. But the branch that is bearing fruit, he purges it. The word purge here has two meanings. One is prune. He cuts off the dead part. How many's ever been seeking God and felt the pruning shears come out? How many's ever had that happen? He's cutting off the dead parts. But purge doesn't mean just cut off the dead part. Purge means to cleanse and to wash. I don't know about these things, but I understand even in Bible times, the vine dresser would look at the leaves and see disease and pest and literally take water and wash the leaves. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad our God, Father Vine Keeper, does that? Oh, how many's willing to let him do a little washing this morning? Glory to God. Amen. Listen, here's so important. You say, I must not be doing very well with God. And people are going to think that I'm not doing very well with God because God's dealing with me this morning. And God's wanting me to deal with something this morning. And God's convicting me of something this morning. I must not be doing very well. No, no, no. Look at it. Even if God's dealing with you, if God's pointing out things, if God's trying to wash, that means you are doing well. It's the branch that's bearing fruit that he's dealing with. It's the branch that's producing fruit that he's washing, that he's cleansing. We got to move on this morning. But look at this cleansing a little bit further as Jesus does. The cleansing, the word is what God uses to purge us. This word right here. Look what he says in verse 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This purging, this cleansing is largely done by the word. How many knows even this preaching time this morning is pruning time? Not just for you, for me. I mean, look at it in context. Jesus said, you're clean. This purging of the branch takes place through my word. Preaching time is pruning time. And thank God, the word is both the pruning shears that cut off the dead parts, and the word is the water that washes off the dirt and disease and bugs. Ask yourself, and I'll ask myself, what would my Christian experience be like? What would my Christian character be like? What would my witness be like without this word? How many knows it's this that cleanses us? And that's why I am so emphatic. Amen. We don't just get a message off the internet by finding a moving illustration. And we don't just find out what people want to hear and preach that. And we don't just preach self-help and self-esteem. No, no, no. We want to preach the word because it's the word that cleanses us. Hallelujah. Now, understandably, we want the word to be a blessing, to motivate, build us up, feel positive. But it's not here just to puff us up with promises. It's here to prune and wash. Let's move on this morning. Jesus then speaks, and this is the crux of the whole thing. He speaks of the continuing. The branch decides. The branch, not the vine. Not the vine dresser, but the branch decides about remaining connected. Look here in verse 4. Jesus says, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Hear me this morning. I believe in eternal security. If you want to be a part of the vine, no
demon, including Satan himself, can sever you from this vine. If you want to be a part of the vine, no human can take you from this vine. But by Jesus' words, it appears the branch itself can decide. Because Jesus gave this admonition, abide in me. We have a choice. 15 times in 10 verses, Jesus uses the word abide. That means to continue to be attached, continue to be connected. Oh, hallelujah. Before I get any further in what that means, the word abide implies a close, intimate relationship with the vine. We're not connected by molecules to the vine. We are connected by relationship to the vine. And to abide is to maintain, to keep that close, intimate relationship with the vine, Jesus Christ. To abide is to be determined to be in that relationship, live according to the Word, by the Word, as the Word. Please hear me this morning. I'm not trying to be derogatory, but I'm trying to preach truth. Many Christians complain that they're dried up, they're withered, they're barren, they're without fruit, and they begin to blame someone in their family, blame someone in the church, blame the preacher, blame the music, blame this and that. No, sir, don't do that. If you as a Christian are dried and withered in your soul, amen, don't blame anyone. Because Jesus said, if you'll abide in me, if you'll keep the connection. How many knows as long as you're abiding, the life is coming into the branch. As long as you're abiding, the strength is coming into the branch. As long as we're abiding, the vitality is coming into the branch. Hallelujah. And I want to return to the falseness that is often preached here. Many suggest that our salvation is so secure that we cannot ever lose it. If that is true, then Jesus' command for us to abide is moot and pointless. But let's look at it just one more time. When he says abide in me, he's not appealing to my intellect. He's not appealing to my emotion. When he says abide in me, he's appealing to my will. He says make a choice. I want to tell you, things get rough, things get tough, things settle in, but we need to make a choice. I'm just going to abide. Let the winds blow, amen, let the enemy walk around, but I'm going to abide. I'm going to continue in my connection with Jesus Christ. How do I abide? By keeping my relationship up with Jesus Christ. I desire that relationship. I seek that relationship. Amen. Any relationship can only continue with communication. Whether it's between me and you or me and God, any relationship can only continue through communication. Let me tell you how we abide. We pray. We pray. I said we pray. We pray. Hallelujah. Oh, I said we pray. Hallelujah. How many knows we just need to pray? That's abiding. When I'm praying, I'm abiding. When I'm not praying, I'm not abiding. Amen. But there's something else, and I'm making all of this brief this morning. But any relationship also requires commitment. And Jesus has already said through chapter 14 in all the gospel, we show our commitment to him through obeying him. Amen. My wife and I's relationship continues. Amen. Yes, through communication, but also because of commitment. Oh, how many knows we're living a time when people just need to be committed. Amen. People aren't committed even to a restaurant chain or a brand of soap. And that boils down, or that trickles down to folks aren't committed. I want to be committed. I want to be committed to my God. I want to be committed to his word. I want to be committed to his people. I want to be committed to walking. Oh, I'm talking about abiding. I'm talking about staying connected. I'm talking about staying in relationship with him. Look at verse 5. Jesus is going to reiterate. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me,
ye can do nothing. Oh, I got to hurry. But I learned to pray this a long time ago. I took a position I was too young for. Amen. A position that was a lot of responsibilities. I learned to pray that right then. I began to pray, oh God, without you, I can do nothing. But you see, we've got to understand this in context. Jesus has told the disciples he is going away. To them, that looks like they're going to be severed from him. Oh, come on now. That's why this vine and branch thing is so important. To every one of those disciples, he said, I'm leaving. They said, it looks like we're going to be severed from our Lord. But he said, he's saying to them, even though I'm going away, even though I won't be here in physical form, you're still going to be connected because I'm the vine. Glory to God. And I want to tell you the same is true this morning. Jesus may be in heaven at the right hand of the Father, but we're connected to him. I said, we're connected to him. Amen. That strength, that vitality comes from him. The promise is that we will bear fruit. Look what he says here. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same, not might, not maybe, but if you're abiding, you will bear fruit. Glory to God. I see areas of failure. I see areas of lack. But if I'll abide, he'll produce the fruit. He'll cause the fruit to grow. Amen. It's that abiding. It comes from him. Amen. That which brings the fruit cannot come from ourselves. It comes from the sap that comes through the vine. It comes through his work of purging us. Listen to me. Hallelujah. Here's a wonderful thing. He's not talking about smarts. He's not talking about talent. He's talking about simply, if we'll remain attached, he will produce the fruit. It's in that context that he says, without me, you can do nothing. So this does not mean without Jesus standing by your side, without Jesus putting his hands to what you're doing. Without him means severed from him. Without the vine, you can do nothing. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad you don't have to be without him? You don't have to live without him. You don't have to be a Christian without him. You can be connected. Oh, I don't know how you feel, but my heart's cry is I don't want to be severed from the vine. I want the connection to be stronger than it's ever been. Amen. I want to produce the fruit. Sin will sever. World will sever. Focusing on something other than Christ will sever me from the vine. Oh, but if I will abide, it's not that we can't get up and get dressed in the morning and drive our automobile without Jesus. I know he ultimately gives us the breath, but that's not what he's saying. It's not saying you can't fly an airplane without him. It's not saying that you can't do your math homework without him. It's not saying you can't cook without him. Though I will concede he gives us the breath to do those things. It's saying that without him, the fruit will never come. We'll never know the joy. We'll never know the peace. We may be a branch, but the fruit's not there because we're severed from him. But thank God we don't have to be severed. We can abide. We can continue. We can be a part of that vine. Hallelujah. Last of all, and shortly, Jesus closes with the caution. The branch that does not bear fruit will ultimately be put into the fire. Look at verse 6. And if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, he's withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Now look, again, look at this for those that say, even we ourselves cannot threaten our salvation. It says here, if a man, it's his choice, if a person does not abide in me. And that doesn't sound like he's just professing to be a Christian. It means he was abiding, but he chooses not to. How many knows in this abiding thing, you can't stay where you're not? The word abide literally means to remain there. I said the word abide means to remain there. You cannot stay where you're not. So to abide in Christ is to stay in him. But if a man does not abide in me, he's cast forth as a branch. So let's return one last time to those that are saying that you can do nothing to lose your salvation. They twist this verse and say the branch being cast forth, that means that it's simply out of fellowship with God. Let me tell you something. If you're severed, if a branch is severed from a vine, it's not just out of fellowship. It's going to die. Right? This isn't talking about just fellowship. Nothing about. And another thing they say, and I want you to read this carefully. That's why I love the verses on the wall. It says, well, what it's saying here, it's not that the branches burn, but the dwarfed and the diseased and the unformed fruit is burned. Where is that in there? It's not in there. No, I don't delight in this. I just want to preach the truth. It says a branch that does not abide will be taken and burned in the fire. You do the study yourself. You look at Christ's words. And when Christ speaks of this, he's always speaking of hell. Amen. He's speaking about the end. He's speaking about the judgment. Do I relish this? No. In fact, it breaks my heart because I can think of those who were branches connected to the vine, full of spiritual life. Some of them even bore fruit for a period. Amen. But they severed. They did not continue. They did not abide in Christ. Amen. Oh, I want to be constantly abiding, don't you? Amen. Would you come? I want to come. So what's the purpose of the branch? Not just to be alive and produce leaves. Abide and bear fruit. Amen. Oh, he's called us to do a wonderful thing. I've not in any point been redundant, but to make emphasis. And I want to tell you something. Amen. It's a wonderful thing to know that I don't have to produce the fruit. Amen. I just have to abide. Amen. Isn't it a relief? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if anyone's ever seen it, but here's an iPad. I know you've seen an iPad. But there's a commercial in German, so you have to read the caption. And it shows an elderly man and his daughter, adult daughter, in the kitchen, and she's stirring a pot of stew or something, and he's chopping vegetables. And she says, "So, Dad, how are you enjoying that iPad we got you for your birthday? How's it going?" He said, "Oh, it's going good, going good." And she asked him, she says, "Have you had any trouble with downloading apps and using them?" He said, "What's apps?" And as he says that, he's scraping the chopped up vegetables into the pot. But he's scraping them off the iPad. And as she stands there astonished, he goes to the sink and washes it off and puts it in the dishwasher and shuts the door. That's not what iPads are for. They're not chopping blocks. And Christians, many times, try to live lives, but that's not what a Christian's all about. Amen. Amen. All this about simply being about prospering and esteem and all this, that's not what a Christian's about. A Christian is about bearing fruit. Amen. Amen. I want to bear fruit, don't you? Would you stand? Father, thank you this morning. Thank you for the words of Jesus that are as poignant today as they were when he spoke them. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want to give two altar calls in one. Amen. And this really ought to be a general altar call. Let me add a third thing. First of all, if you don't have spiritual life in your soul, you can have it this morning. The Father has, he can do what we can't do in nature. He can attach somebody to the vine. And if your heart is withered and dried and you don't know Christ, amen, the Father this morning can attach you to that vine. The second thing is there's a lot of pressures. I don't minimize that. How many knows, you don't have to lift a hand, just listen. How many knows there are forces at work literally to pull us off the vine? If we let them, Those four, they can't unless we choose to go with it. But there are forces at work that would sever us from the vine. Maybe this morning you'd like to say, I'm just not quite abiding like I need to abide. I'm just not quite abiding like I need to abide. But this morning I'm going to renew my communication and my commitment with Christ. And I'm going to abide. I'm going to abide in Him. And then thirdly, amen. You say, I'm really doing what I believe God would have me to do, and I'm doing the best I can. And I don't understand why maybe I'm being convicted, or I don't understand maybe why I'm feeling bad about some things. Could I just tell you this morning, if that's you this morning, you're in a good spot. Because if God is dealing with you in such a way, that means you're a branch that's bearing fruit. And He's purging so you can bear more fruit. So that third thing is, if you're simply here this morning and you want to bear more fruit, amen. Could you, in answer to all three of those at once, could you come and fill these altars and say, oh, Father, purge, cleanse, amen. But I want to bear more fruit. I want to bear more fruit. Hallelujah. Amen. You're here. You don't know Christ. You can have life this morning. You don't know Jesus. You can have life. There's a vine. There's strength. There's life-giving vitality. Hallelujah. He'll give you life this morning. That's it. That's it. He'll give you life this morning. He'll give you life. He'll give you life this morning. Lord, I want to bear more fruit. What you're doing in this altar, Christian, Lord, is you're abiding. You're abiding in Jesus. You're abiding in Jesus. I'm abiding in you, Lord. I'm abiding in you, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm abiding, Lord.
In all I do.
Through prayer, through seeking Him, through renewing our commitments of obedience to Him. We're abiding.
For you are holy. Let me always.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He gives life. He gives life.
Honestly striving. And I'll never stop trying. Sometimes I fall so short.
Lord, prune me. Prune my heart, Lord. Lord, purge me. Wash my heart, Lord. Hallelujah.
Though I'm not worthy, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do a work in me.
Oh, Lord, I want to abide. I choose to abide.
Consecrate me.
It's by your grace, by your mercy. Oh, I want to bear fruit, Lord. Fruit, fruit, fruit. I want to bear fruit.
Make me holy.
Make Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The vine keeper. The vine keeper's examining the branches. The vine keeper is here. The vine keeper, he knows. He prunes. He washes. He examines. Hallelujah. I want more fruit. More fruit. I want more fruit. More fruit. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father, that you've connected us to the vine. Hallelujah. Thank you for connecting us to the vine. Hallelujah. Thank you for the life-giving sustenance that comes through the vine. Oh, if we're a part of the vine, we're part of something bigger than we are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.